Welcome to the ReHope Podcast. Before we dive into this week's message, we'd like to provide you with some helpful resources. If you'd like someone to pray for you, it would be our joy to connect with you. So please email us at prayer@rehope.co.uk. If you'd like to get connected with an online Bible read-through group from wherever you are in the world, you can email brt@rehope.co.uk and be a part of a small group of people reading through the Bible cover to cover each year. Finally, if you would like to support the work and ministry of ReHope financially, you can do so online at rehope.co.uk/giving. We pray you find this message encouraging, enlightening, and helpful. Enjoy.
All right, it's Easter. Happy Easter, everybody. Royston, shout out to you. I don't know what Royston's feasting today, but I imagine between Gurley and Pamela and the team over there, it's going to be amazing. So enjoy your feast. We will enjoy our feast here in the West End. But before we do, let's talk about Jesus, and let me bless you as we go on today. I bless you now, in the name of Jesus, that you would know Jesus more wonderfully today. I bless you to receive healing if you need healing in your body, in your mind, in your emotions, in your spirit today. I bless you to receive whatever guidance from God you need today, whatever help from God you need immediately. I bless you to have the courage and capacity to flourish and prevail over whatever challenges you're facing in your life right now. And I bless you to feel hope and joy and love and peace and freedom, whatever's going on. I bless you with that. In the name of Jesus, may it be. All right. Today we are here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, one of the most certain and miraculous moments in the history of the world. From the beginning, people have doubted a bit that Jesus was killed and then literally, physically raised from the dead, and understandably so, because it's kind of impossible. It's kind of impossible. People don't just rise from the dead, especially when they're so brutally tortured and executed as Jesus was. I mean, we know about Roman crucifixion, how it was one of the most brutal executions in the history of the world, and just the gruesomeness of that. We know about his floggings that he experienced even before being nailed to the cross. We know how the Roman soldiers, and with an eyewitness account there, how they made sure Jesus was dead by taking a spear, ramming it into his side, piercing his heart, making sure that he was dead, and then sticking him in a cold, dark tomb, sealing that and guarding it for 3 days. Like, we know that he was truly dead. In fact, nobody argues that back in that original era. His enemies, the Jewish people who hated him, they don't ever try and make a point that he wasn't actually dead. The Romans definitely do not make that point that he wasn't dead. I mean, everybody back then agreed Jesus was dead. But then, according to hundreds of eyewitnesses, Jesus wasn't dead anymore. That God raised him from the dead. And again, people might say, like that's impossible, and yet that is the point. That is the point. Unless God is really real, it's impossible. But the testimony is God is real, and because he's real, he does raise Jesus from the dead. He took his great power, and he, via the Holy Spirit, raised him from the dead. Now, Peter testifies about this in Acts chapter 2. This is within 2 months. This is within 50 days of this event happening in the same city where all this is going on. And this is what Peter says about the resurrection of Jesus. He says, Dear people of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. King David said this about him: I see the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad, and my tongue shouts his praise. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence. Peter continues, dear brothers, think about this. You can be sure that the patriarch David wasn't referring to himself, for he died and was buried, and his tomb is still here among us. But he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised with an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on his throne. David was looking into the future from 1,000 years before Jesus and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him among the dead or allow his body to rot in the grave. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Peter's proclaiming this within days, even a couple years later to Cornelius' family. He's same testimony. It says, and we apostles are witnesses of all he did through Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him to life on the third day. Peter's lifelong testimony. All the apostles testified this. Paul's preaching, and he says, when they had done all that the prophecy said about him, they took him down from the cross and placed him in a tomb, but God raised him from the dead. And over a period of many days, he appeared to those who had gone with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to the people of Israel. And now we are here to bring you this good news. The promise was made to our ancestors, and God has now fulfilled it for us, their descendants, by raising Jesus. Now, I share these passages. Again, there's so many more for two reasons. One, because the clear, shameless testimony throughout the ages is that the impossible actually happened. That Jesus was dead, undeniably, and yet still, God himself miraculously raised Jesus from the dead. And secondly, because in order for Jesus to have been the one that we are waiting for, to have been the promised one of God, the Savior, in order for him to be who he claimed to be, that required him, according to the prophecies. It required him to be raised from the dead. And that's important. Because anybody can claim anything about themselves, right? Anybody can claim big things, but for 1,000 years, it had been prophesied that we will know who the real and promised and only Savior will be, because God himself will prove it to us when he raises that person from the dead. I find this fascinating. Jesus, 8 times throughout the Gospels, he doesn't just say that he's going to rise from the dead, he calls the day. He's like, on the third day. Not just someday, not just at some point, not just spiritually, he's like, on the third day. You can see that in Matthew 16, Matthew 17, Matthew 20, Mark 8, Mark 9, Mark 10, Luke 9, John 2. He calls it several times. And again, it's fascinating because Jesus bases his credibility on this. Jesus bases the credibility of his teaching, of his message, the credibility of his ministry, the credibility of his testimony on something that is completely out with his control. And impossible seeming that after being dead 3 days that God would raise him back to life. Now, why did Jesus need to rise from the dead? Why did he need to rise from the dead? Let me give you 9 wonderful reasons. You ready for this? 9 wonderful reasons why the resurrection of Jesus Christ physically from the dead was crucially important and so significant for us. 9 wonderful reasons. They're coming fast. Number 1, the resurrection of Jesus is required by prophecies in the Old Testament to confirm him as the true and only promised Savior. Here's another thing that Paul says in Acts 13. He said, for God had promised. For God had promised to raise him from the dead, not leaving him to rot in the grave. We already saw that again in some of Peter and Paul's preaching, but this just can't be missed. For however amazing Jesus was, for however amazing his teaching was, for however powerful and stunning his miracles were, if Jesus had not been physically raised from the dead, he couldn't have been the one we were waiting for. He couldn't have been the one that God had promised. But now we know. Now we know Jesus is who he claimed to be, the only promised one of God without any doubt. Without any doubt, because God raised him from the dead as the scriptures prophesied would happen over 1,000 years before him. Secondly, number two, the resurrection of Jesus proves once again the power and nature of God. The resurrection is seen as a demonstration of God's complete power over life and death. Resurrection proves that God is able to veto death and bring the dead to life again. There's nothing our God can't do that he wants to do. God is about life. Death is the enemy. God promises that he is going to destroy the enemy of death someday. It's amazing, and we all say, may it be soon. Death is awful. That's number two. Number three, the resurrection of Jesus proves that God keeps his promises even when they seem impossible. Again, God can do anything far more than we could ask or imagine when God promises even improbable or impossible seeming things. We can know that God is able and will certainly keep his promises no matter how much power it takes for that to come about. Number four, the resurrection of Jesus proves that his claims about himself and his teachings were true and from God. Now here's the thing, Jesus made some huge claims about himself, such as there is no way to God. That there is no way to heaven, that there's no way to eternal life other than through him. He says in John 14, he says, I am, Jesus speaking about himself, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now that is a huge claim. Anyone can say that kind of thing. Anyone can claim to be the only way to God. Others may have, but Jesus' claims are proven by God himself as God raised him physically from the dead. Number four. Number five, the resurrection of Jesus gives you every chance to have total certainty. No doubt at all. Total certainty that Jesus is the Savior he claimed to be. As I said before, Jesus made big claims, but God made an even bigger proof. An even bigger proof, because the resurrection from the dead truly happened. Again, based on the science of how we determine the historical validity of the testimonies we received in the past, the historicity of events in the past, based on how that we determine that, we know that this is one of the most certain events in the history of the world. And we also know that, wow, the miracle required was big, and yet the historical evidence that it happened is big. And so that can give us big certainty. Big certainty that Jesus is who he claimed to be. Number six, the resurrection of Jesus proves you are truly forgiven because of Jesus' sacrifice. You don't have to have any doubts about that. Because Jesus is alive. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, if Christ had not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. If there was no resurrection, there's no forgiveness. But man, praise God. Praise God that not only for his death, Jesus' death, but for his resurrection. And now we have a living Jesus who intercedes for us. Number six. Number seven. The resurrection of Jesus proved Jesus was the divine Son of God, Romans chapter 1. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about his son. In his early life, he was born into King David's family line, and he was shown. And he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead. By the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus, fully human in the line of David, as was promised, and shown to be the Son of God by being raised from the dead. Number seven. Number eight, the resurrection of Jesus proves that death is not the end for believers in Jesus. And you get this at several points, but speaking about baptism in Romans chapter 6, we read, "And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him." And John 11, 25, Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live." Now, that's the criteria. Anyone who believes in me, in Jesus, anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. And then he says to her, "Do you believe this?" But what a great question for all of us. Do you believe this? Eternal life. Eternal life through Jesus. Anyways, God proves this to us by raising Jesus from the dead, and so that's why you can be certain. You can be certain. That's number eight. Number nine. And finally, the resurrection of Jesus proves there is no other name by which we can be saved. When Peter was on trial for having healed a person who had been lame, in Acts chapter 4, Peter says this. He says, "Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead." Verse 12, "There is salvation in no one else." God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Now, I say all that knowing just how hard it's been for people throughout the centuries to believe, okay, that Jesus was a real person, to believe that he had been truly killed, and that God had genuinely physically raised him from the dead as promised. Even in the days of the New Testament, there was people struggling to believe this, and Paul's writing to the Corinthians about this. No, no, no. Jesus did raise from the dead. This is important. But friends, this is our great news to share, our true news to share. We got this great testimony that basically goes like this. God sent his son Jesus to die for our sins, and then raised him from the dead, making a way for us to be forgiven by God and receive eternal life. And if you've come to believe in Jesus, what a joy. This is Thankful Sunday. If you haven't yet decided to believe in Jesus, there you go. That's the whole message. Believe in Jesus, be forgiven, and receive eternal life. Now, we don't just think this is true. We know it's true. And we know it's true because God proved it by raising Jesus from the dead. And that's what we're celebrating today. That's what we're here to celebrate, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let me end today by reading one of the accounts in the Bible of what happened on Easter morning, Resurrection Sunday morning. This year, I'm going to read from John chapter 20. Here's the account. "Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, 'They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him.' Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Nope, full stop. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and she wept. She stooped and looked in. As she wept, she stooped and looked in, and she saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus. But she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher, or maybe more accurately, "my teacher." "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father, but go find my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is the true and reliable Word of God. The challenge for today is this: stick around. That's the challenge. Stick around and eat with us as we celebrate God raising Jesus Christ from the dead and celebrate all this means to us. I think you can handle this. If not, rearrange everything. I'm going to lead us in a prayer time, but we're going to do it a little bit differently today. Instead of me directing you, I'm going to let you go a bit freestyle. We've been practicing for 3 months. Why don't you close your eyes for a second, and what I want you to freestyle in your prayers is thank you prayers. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for raising Jesus from dead. Thank you, Jesus, for being open. Thank you. Thank you prayers. And maybe you enter this Easter and you feel disconnected from God. Maybe spiritually dull on the inside. Ask Jesus to resurrect your heart, to bring life back into your soul. And if you're here and you haven't ever given your life to believe in Jesus and be saved, I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to not wait any longer, but on Easter Sunday, make it your day. And I suggest praying something like this. You know, "God, I now dedicate my life to following Jesus. I will believe in Jesus and I will follow Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and lead me in your way. I will follow." Father, I ask that you would reawaken all of our hearts on this Easter. You fill us with the joy and the certainty as we come to celebrate Jesus and what you've done. thank you. God, we just say thank you, thank you, thank you. Bless us all in Jesus' name. Amen.